you want to turn to Revelation chapter 17, that's where we'll start this morning when we start looking through. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you or down on the chair bottoms there in front of you. Feel free to use one of those. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we read that God created the universe and everything in it. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. He created the earth and the planets. He created the water and the light. He created the land and our atmosphere. He created the plants, the fish, the birds, the creepy crawlies, and the animals that live on the ground. He created man, and He gave him the responsibility of taking care of everything that He had created on this earth. And He gave them the responsibility of creating a civilization and living in it. Ever since the first man failed to do what God had asked him to do, man has attempted to do what God asked by our own power and our own strength. We try to do it in our own wisdom and our own understanding, but every time we fail. You see, God has promised that one day He will restore that Edenic state and make all things new. Then we will reign with Christ over the new garden, over the new creation that God has promised. Unfortunately, as we look at Revelation chapter 17 and 18 this morning, what we're going to see is that God isn't the only one trying to portray a perfect city. God isn't the only one trying to create a civilization among mankind. Once again, what we will find is that the dragon is trying to imitate God and His plan. He's trying to imitate God and His purposes. So last week we met these two beasts. The beast from the sea, which we identified as government, and the beast from the land, which we can identify as false religion, that is in conjunction working with governments. Well, this week we're going to meet the great whore. If you want to open to Revelation chapter 17, what we're going to see first is we're going to see the identification. We're going to be helped to understand who this whore is. And this is what John writes. He says, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute.'" Now, that's a nice way to say what the language says. She's a whore. She's not a nice lady. "Come and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on the many waters. With her kings in the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into the desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with the blasphemous names and with seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She had a golden cup in her hand and was filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore the testimony of Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished." Now we can read that and we can be left with the question, who is John talking about? Who is John trying to identify this city, this Babylon the Great, this city that he calls the great prostitute and the mother of all whores? Who is this that John is speaking of? Well, if we were to come to the identification of her, we need to begin with the idea of a city. Babylon is a city. It's the name of a city, a specific city. It was the city where the people of God were taken into captivity. But it's more than just the identification of a city. A city is a group of people who live in conjunction with one another. A city is, by definition, it is the beginning or the basis for a civilization. A place where people live and interact with one another. Where they do business, where they live, where they sleep, where they go and worship, where they do the things that life requires. And so we need to begin by understanding that what John is talking about is this city that is in some ways a place of captivity, where we have to live, we have to interact, but it isn't always the place where we want to be. You see, the Israelites were taken as captives into Babylon. They had to acclimate in some ways to that city and that civilization that they were going to live in, well, for 70 years, but if you're looking at John now writing this almost 700 years after the initial captivity of Judea, and he's still commenting that there's still this captivity. But then we go on, and John begins to identify not just the fact that it's a city, he begins to identify that this is a well-to-do city, because he talks about the fine clothes. He talks about the way that the people, the way that the city is dressed in these fine clothes, these fine robes. And then he talks about the rich jewels that she is wearing, the rich jewels that either have come as gifts or come as part of her trade. And she looks like she is doing well for herself. And then he talks about the great opulence, because she's drinking out of these great looking goblets. You see, if we look at what John is saying about this city, it isn't just that it's any city. It's a city, well, it's the commerce. We might call it the economic part of the city. When we look at what John is going to continue to say about this whore, when we're going to continue to look at what John says about this civilization, this city, these people, we have to look at it in conjunction with what he said about the false beast from the sea, the beast from the land. The beast from the sea is government, the beast from the land is religion, and the whore is the economy. It is the buying and selling, it is the doing commerce that takes place within the city, within the civilization. It is the necessities that are being sold. It is the luxuries that are being traded. You see, we understand that not just by the way that John identifies her, but why he says, as he says, that those who won't worship the beast, those people can't buy, they can't sell, they can't trade. You see, if you aren't willing to be in conjunction with the government, if you aren't willing to go along with the false religions, economy locks you out. And you look around the world, and last week we asked the question, what government? We asked the question, what religion? And we looked at the fact that if you look around the world today, you can't just point at one. You could point at many, and if you look throughout history, you could do the same. But if you look at those civilizations that are the most against God, whether you look at China, or you look at North Korea, or you look at Iran, and you look at those, and you look at the false governments that have set up, you look at the religions that those places use to keep their people in check, and then you look at their economy, and you look at those who won't follow the party line, who find it very difficult to survive, difficult to buy, difficult to sell, difficult to trade, difficult to get the very necessities of life, because they won't play the game. They won't worship the way that the government says you should worship, and you won't give your allegiance to the government the way that the religion says you should, and in the end you won't worship the dragon. And you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade. And then you look at this harlot and you look at some other things about her, and what you find is that it isn't just that she's taking advantage of God's people and putting them out, but she's getting rich off of people. She's getting rich off of people. She's using and abusing the very people that she claims to be serving. Because in the end, she's only looking out for herself. And so then we can come back and we can ask the same questions that we asked last week. Instead of what city, or instead of what government, instead of what religion, this week we could ask the question, what city? What economy, what civilization would we be speaking of? And if we really look at what John says, what we find is that it's any economic system that values profits over people. Any economy that says, you know what, we're more worried about how much luxury we provide for ourselves than the people that we're using. Any economy that says, you know what, we're not concerned about the little guy, we're concerned about the bottom line and making the bottom line fatter and blacker than it's ever been. It's any economic system that the governments will use and abuse to get their own power strengthened. It's any government or any economic system that religion will use to pad its own coffers. You see, that's why John refers to her as a whore. And that's why John speaks of her the way he does, because she is in cahoots. She's giving her services to the government. She's selling her services to religion, and they are just in bed with her as much as possible. Then John goes farther, and we could look at it this way. We could look and we could say that it's any economic system that trades in money, sex, and power. Any economic system that really, its three main purposes are money, sex, and power. And how we get more, and how we, as the wealthy, use them more and more. And we often look at our economy and we think our economy is pretty good, but you know what? Our economy is far from perfect. Our economy is far from good. And we have to be careful that we don't just say, well, you know what, we live in the United States of America and we live in a free market economy, and that's great. We're good. And we try to pay honest prices for things. But we have to be careful that we don't fall in love with the city. That we don't fall in love with the civilization. That we don't end up in bed with the whore. John goes on, and now we move farther down in John chapter, or Revelation chapter 17, and John begins to look and he begins to say that there's going to be this judgment that takes place. That God is going to do some things against the whore. And beginning in verse 16, he says this. He says, the beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish His purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. You see, there's coming a time when judgment happens. And it happens this way historically. Just as the things that we saw when the seven seals were open, and we began with the four horsemen, and we talked about how those are simply things that happen through history over and over and over again. Well, the things that happen here, the things that God is talking about here, are things that they repeat. Civilization after civilization, society after society, economic system after economic system goes the same way. The government and religion, they saddle up to this whore and they think they've got things going pretty good, and they begin and it looks like a good relationship, and finally one day they begin to just take advantage of her. And they take advantage of her more and more because they want more and more from her. And eventually, the government ruins and the religion runs ragged this board. The things that people work for, the government claims as its own. The things that religion says that they can offer in civilization, when they saddle up with the economy, they soon begin to want more and more. And they ride her until she has nothing left to give. And then as she is going down, they just bring her to the point of death. As John puts it in chapter 18, beginning with verses 4, John will say this. He says, they begin to just pay her in her own coin. They begin to just repay her the way she has, well, the way she has acted is how they treat her. And this is what it says. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to the heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her what she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn. Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. You see, here's one of the things that we find about economies, is they think they're doing great, and they begin to build themselves up, and they begin to encourage themselves, and those that are in the higher part of economy, they begin to pad themselves and they begin to take care of themselves with more and more opulence, and all of a sudden one day it falls out from underneath of them and they don't know how to handle it. And they're worse off than they would have been if they had never gotten to the top. And John says, God says that he is using government and he is using false religion to simply pay back economy with how it paid itself. And he wants us to see the results of the judgment. And the thing is the judgment takes place, but the results are actually worse than the judgment itself. Because this is what John says in chapter 18, beginning with verse 11. He says, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses, carriages, and bodies and souls of men. But there in verse 11, this this civilization that claims to be for the people. This civilization, this city, this economy that claims to be serving people, when it begins to crumble, you see what it says. John says the merchants of earth will weep and mourn because they no longer can provide services to people who need it. Right? No, that's not what John says. John says that they will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. They weep and mourn not because they can't help, but because no one is putting money into their coffers, because they're no longer making profits, because they're no longer being come to for the goods that they sell. And there is every kind of good that you could want that John lists. And he says the bodies and souls of men. So it's not even just the cargoes of tradable items. It's people who have become the tradable items. You see, everyone can be hurt. Everyone can be hurt. This is what John is telling us. Everyone can be hurt. The sellers no longer have people coming to buy from them. And so they have these things that they can't get rid of. And then there are the buyers who no longer really get what they're looking for. And if they do, they're paying an exorbitant price. And then there's those who can't afford to do either. The ones who are hurt the most are the ones who can't afford to do either. They have nothing to sell, but they have no way to buy what they need. And the judgment hurts them the most. And John gives us this grand warning. He says that it happens, and we have to be careful. Over and over again through history, if you study nations and you study economies, what you'll find is that they rise and they fall. And when they fall, the fall is much greater than their rise. When people think they have it all together and suddenly government or false religion takes it out from underneath of them, they don't know how to act. This is why in James chapter 4, James warns his readership that he says, "Oh, you adulterous generation, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Don't you know that if you want to join the world systems, that you're basically telling God that you don't like Him? Because what you're saying is, I'd rather spend time with a whore, with a prostitute, than I would you, God." And we have to be careful. And John is warning us this. This is why in chapter 18, verse 4, God says this, or this voice out of heaven says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, and so that you will not receive any of her plague." It's because God wants us to see the dangers. God wants us to see how devastating it can be to put our hope in the economy, to put our hope in money and possessions, to put our hope in things that this world has to offer. Because, unfortunately, it is too easy for us to put our desires in the things of the economy. It is too easy to put our hopes in the things of the civilization. It's too easy to come at life with our own wisdom and to become seduced into what money can buy and what wealth has to offer. And to find ourselves in bed with the whore. You see, the reason John warns us about the whore and her impending judgment is so that we don't get tangled up. So that we don't get tangled up with her and thus deserve and experience her judgment as well. For here's what I know. God has a perfect city that He has called the Bride of Christ. And Satan has an imperfect city that God calls a whore. And any time we accept Satan's imperfect substitution, we've committed adultery against God and deserve His punishment. And so His warning today is this: choose wisely. Choose wisely who we will choose for a partner. And He does so in a way that says, choose God. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And I'd love to begin a conversation with you about what that means, that to help you see what God is talking about when He says that He has a perfect city. A new civilization that we will experience one day. But if you have that relationship this morning, I just ask you to examine yourself and ask how faithful you've been to the One who created it all as the Bride of Christ. Let's stand as we sing together this morning.